3239 Center for Kim. A representative of, Butler, would you like to join them? We've got committee members that all have to go to something else, so. Proceeding this.
I'm here for a while.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, it's got new chemistry. Yes, right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee for the record. My name is Gene Kim, state senator from District Number 30. Appreciate you hearing this bill today. Since I was interested in this and introduced this bill, there's been a lot of things happen. And this bill originally was for Lake County, which had to do also with Blue Mountain, which was in at the time, which Representative Jensen had introduced and we put the two together. And there was some of the emergency board, and $100,000 of that was to go to Lake County. What happened in Lake County in 1996, they had a effort to establish a community college. And it, through the Department of Education and the community college, we went ahead with the program and told the people that it wouldn't cost them any money. Well, along came Ballot Measure 47, and then the change of 50, and that changed. And so then we felt we had to take it back to the people. So we took it back to the people, and it was defeated. Lake County is the most highly educated county in the state of Oregon. They have the Bailey Fund, and any graduate of high school there can go to college. In fact, the people that work for the federal government there try and stay there if their kids are in high school. They know their college education is going to get paid for. So it's an area that I think would like to have a community college, and of course, the commissioners have been after me to get some money so they can work together with Pinellas Community College to put that back together again. Since that time, Harney County, which is not in the community college, Representative Butler, involved in that. Grant County, we looked at Ted Ferrioli, and of course, Mr. Jensen, how many counties up there that matter in the rest of the community college? You have 164 in front of you, which also sets up a process to allow those students to more money for those FTEs in those community colleges. This, I think, is the first step. The first step is to find out if these places are willing to pay to be in a community college district rather than going in a carte de blanche where they will not get the services that they would get if they're under a community college. Anyway, I'd hope so. And that's something we have to watch very closely. But if you look at the map of the state of Oregon, there have nots, and where they have not, we do not have community colleges, while the most of the rest of the state does. And if you look at Lake County, Harney County, Grant County, and the counties that are in Representative Jensen's area, you'll see that if we take care of those, I think Hood River is one of the areas, and there are a few little spots on the coast that do not have community colleges. It's my belief, and my belief way before this session started, which I stated in caucus, that the total state should be in community colleges. Why shouldn't some of us be left out? So I think this is the first step to see if we can get him to join in the community college process in the state of Oregon and have to pay.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions for Senator? President Butler?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Tom Butler from House District 60. I first want to thank you for hearing this particular House bill, and secondly, I want to thank Senator Timms and Representative Jensen for the opportunity of being able to tag on, recognizing the needs that we have in the very rural portions of the state of Oregon, both for Pinellas Community College as its attempt to come out and serve Lake County, and as well as the issues dealing with Mount Hair County as it tries to serve at Two Fraser Valley Community College, Harney County and up into Grant, and certainly portions of Baker County. One of the other things that's happening is at a no-cost basis, we've jumped the state lines and now have an opportunity for the students of Fraser Valley Community College to be able to get into BSU, Boise State University, on a basis of trading FTE, full-time equivalent to student enrollment back and forth, so that within 60 miles of Fraser Valley Community College's campus, we have an opportunity for them to receive an excellent four-year university education. And that's something that Tier 4 has been an absolute unknown. I agree wholeheartedly with the concept that the whole of the state of Oregon should be included somewhere in the community college district, and this is an attempt now to help us to go out and to Grant and to Harney and to have those folks receive the opportunity for this distance education and to be able to bring them the fullness of the program and the opportunity to receive the four-year education through Fraser Valley Community College that they can through the other community colleges by transferring in our community college consortiums that have been set up. We have a community college consortium between we shouldn't call it a community college consortium. I do. It includes Blue Mountain and Fraser Valley, and what it does is it links those programs together with Eastern Oregon to give the folks an excellent opportunity to 4 years. But because we're still 200 miles distant from the closest four-year college in the state of Oregon, the 60 miles makes it a whole lot more attractive. And again, that's a separate arrangement that we're working, which could be then extended to the folks in Grant, Baker, and Harney. And up to this point, and until Klamath Community actually comes on the scene, Fraser Valley Community College has been servicing the folks over in Lake County. And those of you who may have ever traveled from Ontario down to Lakeview, you pack a lunch and have breakfast before you go. So it's a good long distance, and to get that distance education in there, I fully support the reattempt to bring Klamath Community College back in. I'm not going to make excuses as to why the people came back and said no. Marginally to the opportunity the second time around, but when they had been given an opportunity the first time around, overwhelmingly joined into the district from Lake County to Klamath Community College. It was on the basis of the fact that there would be no tax impact, and then when the tax impact in Asia 50 was calculated, then they marginally approved it, basically on the heels of Asia 50, feeling like that perhaps they had not been dealt with fairly, but it wasn't an issue of anyone cheating them out of something or telling them an untruth. It was, in fact, just an anomaly that happened as a result of Measure 50. So I think these good people, as Senator Tim indicated, need an opportunity to be part of a college, a community college district, and these funds, if appropriated to the emergency board, and then as they can bring the issues to the emergency board, relative to their actual needs, then they would have the opportunity to participate and have the votes that are necessary to give people the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair Menace, and members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be here this morning to bring 3239 to you and ask for your consideration of it. I don't have a lot of things to add to what my good colleagues have already, statements that they've already made. 3239 was a bill that I initially introduced at the request of Blue Mountain Community College and the four counties surrounding Blue Mountain to enable those four counties to potentially be a part of the Blue Mountain Community College service district. The history of Blue Mountain's interaction with those counties over the past 30 years that I've been familiar with the school is one where we have constantly and continually taken things, taken courses, training programs, various other activities out to these communities. Sometimes at expense to the college, back in the at least the days when we were able to to do that, because we felt that there was a need, that there was a mandate, in fact, in the state of Oregon, for all communities to be able to have community college services, and where possible, Blumenthal would carry that that out. Additionally, many of those students from BMC or from those counties have come to Blue Mountain to continue or to pursue their education. The I think we are seeing at the present time a really fairly remarkable thing in education in Oregon with the interaction and relationship that is beginning to take place between the high schools and the community colleges and the universities. We talk in this building and elsewhere a lot about seamless education. And I believe we are at the point of really starting to see some seamless education, and at least for those rural portions of the state that Senator Timms, Representative Butler, and I represent. This is an important piece in continuation of that seamless education. So I would urge your support for House Bill 3239 and be willing to ask any questions that I could.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Jensen? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. West, can I come up and address briefly so we can work it so our members can vote on their meetings?
Madam Chair, briefly makes me very happy. I will say for the record, my name is Brett West from the Office of Community College Services, and we do support this bill and will work to make sure that it is implemented well.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Steve, do you want to walk us through the amendment?
Madam Chair, you have distributed before you the HB 3239-7, and LFO would recommend that you do adopt these to the bill. They do two things. They make some corrections in the substantive part of the bill, which, as you may recall from earlier testimony, relates to conditions for Blue Mountain Community College annexation. They are expecting an annexation vote in the spring, I believe, and the annexation would become effective next July if the election is successful. There were a few actual errors in the way that the bill was drafted originally because it dealt with the rogue college language and just duplicated it, even though that was a different situation. So the Dash 7 amendment corrects that. I'd be happy to answer more specific or describe more specifically if there are any questions. The Dash 7 amendments also replace the funding language that was in the original bill. As amended, the bill would provide a total of $410,000, of which $110,000 would be used to offset losses to school property taxes in the event that the Blue Mountain Community College annexation is approved by voters. This would go to the E-Board, and the emergency board would release it. The bill also contains an additional $300,000 for costs associated with annexation and preparing for annexation. These funds are anticipated to go to the community college districts that you were hearing testimony about earlier this morning. However, if all of these funds are not used, they would then be available for statewide, the remaining funds would be available for statewide distance learning at community college.
Just a quick one. Steve, could you just describe how the $110,000 was derived? How did you estimate that?
That's an estimate of the impact on the property tax collections of the K-12 and ESD schools in the Annex County. Because of the property tax limits of Measure 5 and 50, those taxes would be reduced by an estimated $110,000. Because of the state, if the those counties, if the community college rate is extended to those counties, under the state school fund, that loss is essentially distributed throughout the whole system. What would happen is if Blue Mountain Community College annexation was approved, we would check again at the emergency board when the request was to get a more exact figure.
Okay.
If it turned out to be less than that, the impact was less than that, we would only recommend that less than that. But this is projected to cover the full amount.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm sure. These are all general funds, right?
Correct.
And I presume we have those general funds available.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, on a motion?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 7 amendments that are before us to House Bill 3239.
Discussion? Any objections? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3239 as amended to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objections? Representative
Jackson. Thank you, Chair Minister. I'm going to vote yes on this bill, and I'm honored to say I'm going to do so enthusiastically.
Right. Any other discussion? Any objections? Amen. Motion carries. All right. Are we going to leave my senators here?
You're off.
We need to perform here. I'm losing my name.
Thank you, by the way.
All right. Let's open the work session on House Bill 5062. Representative Patrick, Representative Benjamin, Representative Bumelow, would you like to come forward?
What's my name?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Just briefly, we're here in support of the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5062, specifically in regards to number 2, distribution to community college districts that were established or that have annexed new territory. I'd like to explain a little background for the committee about how the community college funding formula works and why we're here before you today. A lot of feedback. Why we're here before you today. The reason we're here before you today is the way the community college funding formula works is that it goes back over a 3-year funding cycle. So 3 years ago, you would get a 30% weight for your number of students enrolled. You go 2 years back and get 30% of that weight, and then you would get 40% of the weight in the previous year or the current year now that we're in July. But the current year. That's how the funding formula works for the distribution. You have the community college budget before you. The problem is there's 3 colleges that have had recent annexations that have experienced rapid expansion over the last 2 years. That means that what's happened in the funding formula is because of the way it's weighted over a 3-year period, some of these colleges have had, for example, Rhodes Community College in my district had over a 24% increase in FTE between last year and this year. So it's a substantial problem with the formula. When this committee passed out the community college budget, some money was appropriated into a $2 million was appropriated into a fund for kind of the Office of Community Colleges to do their own thing.
Brookfield Community College has applied to get some of those funds to deal with the FTE problem and was denied those funds through the Office of Community College Services. That's why we're here today. I think it's fairly important that we need to send a message. These colleges are being shorted. I had the Office of Community College Services early on run what the additional needs would be for Rogue, Southwestern Oregon, and Klamath Community Colleges. That was $4,025,276. That's the hard time they were with the colleges that ran those figures. We're here today because we have this additional, some additional money available. We couldn't take it all. We understand the need for distance learning and some other renovations and a mental health project. We're here today to ask for the $290,000 that would be distributed by the Office of Community Colleges to these three colleges to deal with some of the issues of equity that need to be dealt within the formula. You just asked the previous bill before you, looking at several annexations in other parts of the state. I think it's fairly critical that the Office of Community Colleges Services needs to look at their formula during the biennium to deal with these kinds of expansion. I think it's clear from the record and what we know about Oregon, these three districts are also in areas where there is substantial unemployment, and this minor assistance could send a message to the Office of Community College Services as well as support these colleges to do what we're asking them to do and increase employment in these critical areas. Those colleges represent the South Coast, the Southern Oregon area, and Klamath.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to ask a question about the way you described it, Representative Patridge. This might be just a one-time problem with the formula that needs to be fixed, but as these districts develop and the formula should accommodate them, or is there a real problem with the formula as well?
Well, we hope that this is going to be a one-time. We hope this will attempt to be a one-time fix. The problem is you have a lack of capital investment, that they don't have the funds to meet the student population. They don't have the ability to pay their professors and do the things that need to be done. So we believe this is a one-time fix, but hopefully they're all going to be up and fully running, and we'll have 3 years of full running the college of the
state of the economy. State of the economy there is a
right.
Need for special. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Ken Messerly from District 48, which is Coos Bay, south of the California border. Southwestern Oregon Community College annexed 3 years ago, I believe, or maybe it was more than that, with Curry County. At that time, they set up a separate campus in Brookings, Oregon, which is over 100 miles away, which is why they did that. I think in most cases, they bring the students into their parent campus. At the time they annexed, they did not get any additional funding from the state of Oregon to offset the taxes in the annexed county, as has been done, as my understanding, since then. Our enrollment has increased 16%, and without the initial funding from the state at annexation, and with the trying to develop the campus, they first leased. And then they got in a situation here about a year ago, I believe it was, where the building was being sold, and so to protect themselves, they had to buy an inadequate building. So they're still in a process of trying to get funding together to raise the capital to actually build another, or buy or build another campus. So it's very much needed, and I just urge your support for this amendment.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am Representative Judy Werbela, representing District 52 in Southern Oregon, and I am a member of the representative for Medford's Choir on this issue. I must say that I was surprised at the support that we give our community colleges. If you live as long as I have, you end up being a product of many things, and one of the things I'm a product is of a community college in California. And I can't tell you, begin to tell you how needed they are and the purpose they served, and I've always been surprised we do not support them to the level I think they should be supported. And two, just quick observations. Grove Community College, people who testified prior to this were talking about seamless education. Grove Community College is already doing this in concert with Southern Oregon University. They're working very closely, and it's made it very easy to move, to progress from one level to the other. And another thing I think is very important, and I'm sure this is happening throughout the state, we had a fire in one of our big industries, Boise Cascade, and a lot of people lost their jobs. And they have, Grove Community College has been a savior. They've been going through a trucking school and so forth through the college. We're timber dependent to some degree, to a great degree, actually, the area. And also many of those people have been able to go into the community college and get new skills that are necessary. So this is a very small amount that we are asking because of the formula, and I wholeheartedly support this.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Representative Wilson.
Good morning, Chair Manness and members of the committee. Carl Wilson, District 49, State Representative, Grants Pass and Cave Junction. My colleagues have waxed eloquently about Grove Community College and what it does for our community. Our community is an extremely needy community. We're very excited. In Josephine County, we've just gotten down to 6% unemployment, which is tremendous for us. We've been hanging in around 10 for a long time, and sometimes above that. Grove Community College plays a vital role in our community in retraining folks and getting them productive and getting them into the job market. I'm here today to ask for a $70,000 supplement for the Registered Mental Health Technician Pilot Project, a project that was approved by the 1997 Legislative Assembly. The project has gone on for 2 years. The first graduates of this program are just about to hit the streets. The request is for this to continue in a pilot mode for another 2 years so that we can adequately monitor the effectiveness of those individuals going into the job market under this new discipline, Registered Mental Health Technician. It was thought that this program was necessary due to the fact that the folks that these people minister to are very needy individuals who are perhaps not served by traditional nursing practices. So that's why this program has come along. As I mentioned, the first graduating class is going to hit the streets in the month of August, something that we're excited about. The college would like to bring in a new class on the heels of this class. $17,500 has been given to this project on the mental health side. The community college itself, Rogue, plans to pump in $160,000 of its own money into the next biennium. The $70,000 was not requested in the initial community college budget, and due to that oversight, we're requesting $70,000 today for Rogue Community College to continue this program. We would appreciate you looking favorably upon that request.
Any questions? Representative Burrow?
And Representative Wilson, what exactly do these mental health technicians do?
Representative Ross, these technicians are engaged in traditional nursing in many ways, but they are trained specifically to handle the needs of the mentally ill, mentally handicapped.
Any other questions?
And just to clarify that we have had this project that's been going on for 2 years. This $70,000. Is it in addition to the base funding for the program, or is it an evaluation phase out, or exactly what $70,000 additional cover?
Sure. What the $70,000 will cover in this case is monitoring of those who are going out into the workforce in this new discipline, and it will also be used to supplement the college's money, $160,000 I've mentioned, to continue to develop curriculum and teaching for these individuals.
Representative Wilson, are you, this is $70,000 over the budget that we've agreed to. Are you in favor of increasing the budget?
Representative Ross, if I were not in favor of doing this for the colleges and my community, I wouldn't be here.
That's a record show that you're for expanded government.
Thank you, Representative Ross. I certainly will be for that if it continues to help my community in the way that this program and this college does.
Any other
Low government selected.
Representative, Madam Chair, I would just like to add to what Representative Wilson has said. I was involved in the prior session when this matter came up in conversations. And one of the things, or not one of the things, several of the things that came up is, first of all, is there is a real need in mental health services for people to provide services. There were not enough registered nurses, plus the fact those that were quite expensive. And given the funding that the mental health services had, it was a real issue. And this was seen as a way to deal with both a lack of skilled people and also the level needed at. And I would fully support the additional money for this continuing pilot project.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative
Westland. Thank you, Madam Chair. Ben Westland, District 55, Central Oregon, here to testify on behalf of the appropriation for Central Oregon Community College's Advanced Technology Center. I think most of you are aware of the exceptional work the technology centers are doing throughout the state, that it's an interface and job training between the ever-shifting requirements of business that require additional and more technical training for our workers, particularly our displaced workers. I'm very happy to report that this $100,000 completes our project, and one of the real benefits of being able to receive this funding at this particular time is that they will be able to start construction within this construction season and have it up and operating by the spring of 2000. So as opposed to just continuing the effort, which I applaud on several of these, this $100,000 actually puts the last piece of funding in place, and we will be able to proceed and be able to provide these services. One thing I would like to say with regard to some of the ongoing efforts to find financing for some of the other community colleges is that there's been a great deal of private involvement in this project. Of the $2.5 million, approximately $800,000 has come from grants, Meyer Foundation, Geldwin, really committed to our community, and I would encourage some of those that are still seeking funding to try to look at a public-private partnership, because some of the major grant writing entities in this state are very much behind the additional training and technological achievement of the workforce that these advanced technology centers represent.
Any questions for Representative Westland? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the he's here from the Troutdale County Community College piece. This is a facility that has been donated by the Civil Corps of Engineers Department of Education, who is going to allow Montrose Community College to use that as a skill center for the partnership initiative or skill center. So this money would go towards retrofitting. He said it looked like some of it had all been zapped out. The pencils were still on the desk. It was like a time warp. It's very strange to walk in and just see everything like they were just all left out of the building. So I have to walk out and go in, retrofit the building to be able to use for the skill center. So that's where those dollars donated pieces to help the building up so we can proceed with the certificate of advanced national piece.
Yes.
Okay, and Dr. Moriarty, I believe you wanted to make some comments.
Dan Moriarty, President of Portland Community College, thank you for this unplanned opportunity on your part and on my part. But I'm here to not to speak in contrary to any of the presentations that you've heard this morning. And, you know, all of us who are in the community college business kind of rejoice when any community college is more empowered to better serve their community, and especially in areas where bringing those resources together is perhaps relatively more difficult. The Council of Presidents have worked long and hard in trying to develop a proposal, probably over a 12-month period, And we have our work sessions and we have our retreats and so forth, and we try to put a package together. The Council of Presidents has gone on record consistently and through the OCCA, which includes all the board members in the entire state for community colleges, and has gotten behind a proposal which basically would say that the $2 million that the legislature has seen fit to supplement community college funding, that that would be allocated for enrollment growth and would work itself back to the formula. The formula itself is another story. You've heard some comments on that this morning, and it kind of wriggles and creaks and so forth, but it's like what you have. And sometimes it's like a house of cards. If you start to pull out one piece, one card, you're in danger of the whole thing falling down together. So I think correctly, as someone suggested this morning, we need to go back and review it. But the enrollment formula is very important to us. The consensus of the Council of Presidents is very important to us. OCCA's consensus with all elected people, members of the OCCA, all of that's very important. And our priority has been always to take any supplementary funding, work it back through the formula, and then have it distributed out to the community colleges to apply wherever that need most cries out for some redress. Portland Community College, to speak to DCC, since the passage of Measure 5, which was, I believe, in 1991, we have been, per FTE basis, an underfunded community college. The enrollment formula would say that in the process of 5 years, that all of us, every Oregonians who live outside the metropolitan area, and those, in fact, who do live inside the metropolitan area, would all be funded at the same level. So you would get $100 and I would get $100, et cetera. And maybe that should be questioned. We project that after 13 years after the passage of Measure 5, DCC would finally get to the point where we would receive the average amount of funding per FTE that our colleagues receive throughout the state. We think that's very important. But we do think 13 years is long enough time to wait. We've been very cooperative. We've been patient. We've been collaborative. We have resisted any efforts to basically kind of go it on our own, and we've done that consistently over the years. The needs of community colleges to serve the public are many. You've heard some of them this morning. Everything that's been said is very legitimate and very valuable, but there are other pieces to it. Chemeketa has not been heard from. Lane has not been heard from. My colleagues at Clackamas Community College have not been heard from. In our particular instance, there is a whole lineup of priorities. Our service to Columbia County is very, very low. Our participation rates are low if you don't have really a physical facility there. We serve Chemeketa, and Portland Community College serve the largest number of minority students in the state, because that's where the minority students are. Of course, other community colleges will do the same thing, but that's where they work. But they're in the Salem area and they're in the Portland area. We have an ethnic student success program on the Sylvania campus, which has done extremely well. The purpose of the program is to help the retention and the success of minority students, and we would like to replicate that at the Cascade campus and the Rock Creek campus. And that is a high priority for us. We think that's very important. It's not only that people have access, but they have successful access and they pass through the program. But what I want to say is that the Council of Presidents and OCCA has supported funding for enrollment growth, and that continues to be our theme. That continues to be the platform that the elected representatives have put forward and that the Council of Presidents have put forward. Obviously, there are a lot of needs out there, but I don't know how you go about addressing them. You folks have done an excellent job of trying to divide up the resources and parcel them out to the best of your ability, and you can only do so much. And we will always, I want to assure you in the future, we will have always have more needs than you can possibly fund. And that'll continue that way because we really want to serve the public. But we do want to support the platform that we've always supported. If someone wants to look at other needs, you know, we could certainly itemize those. And certainly one of those needs would be what we do to serve minority students in the Portland-Salem corridor. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and good luck.
Madam Chair, if I may inquire, President Moriarty, is a part of your message that without supplemental funding, you're unable to proceed with the minority students' initiative?
I think without supplementary funding, as in other areas, we're just limited into what we can do. We have some cooperative programs with Hillsborough High School right now in serving Hispanic students. We run, pardon me, a Saturday morning program. Pardon me. That's designed to work with current high school students and to promote individual leadership and action on the part of those students and service models to others. We do similar kinds of things in the at the Cascade campus. But if you go to the Cascade campus, you're not going to find any special support service, particularly for minority students. But then again, if you go to the Cascade campus, about 30% of our students are minority students. So what we're able to do is very limited. We're not able to replicate the program that Sylvania has at Rock Creek and at Cascade.
And so, again, my question is, will you be unable to proceed with the initiative without the supplement?
Exactly, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Moriarty, for being here today. I guess a couple questions. I'm just trying to remember because it's been a long time. We had the community college budget before us. The enrollment growth piece, was that part of the recommendation to the governor? In which case, did he have that built in, or was that outside of his budget?
It was outside. But I just wanted to clarify. The governor had $2 million then for distance learning.
Right.
And then when it went through the legislature, you folks funded the current service level, and we really appreciate that. It's very important to us. And then it was lopped out. That part was lopped out. And then it's being restored at this point. I think that's when it's restored. In addition, outside the front of that governor's seat, outside the governor's seat, community colleges through the OTCA were requesting, I believe, $9.2 million for enrollment growth. If that helps.
Yeah, it does. Well, just to follow on, I mean, you know, you put yourself in our shoes, and it's always an issue of trying to divvy up this money. And you know, the issue before us today is some of these community colleges would argue, as you heard, that they were inequitably treated through the annexation process, or there's going to be a change in the annexation process potentially. And I mean, I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying. It's just sort of where we are in this session. I think decisions have already been made, and not that, I would say that on the record that this group should make sure that next session we look at it really enhancing community college's budget over enrollment, because that, with the enrollment growth, because that is an area that all of us should be, you know, paying attention to, and I hope the governor will begin to adopt that in his budget as well, so it begins to have a placeholder.
I just want to respond. You know, the whole issue that you've dealt with on equalization for K-12, that's not ever been an issue at the legislature vis-a-vis community colleges. And the fact is that in our particular instance, it will be 13 years since the passage of Measure 5 before people in your particular district will get the same amount of funding as another citizen in another district. So all of us, you and I, are patiently waiting for 13 years. And every time you go off on a tangent, it exacerbates the problem and increases the discrepancy and inequity among people who are being served. You know, we're in the exact opposite situation as Portland Public Schools. We're one of those people, like some of the rural colleges, who are quote-unquote underfunded. We have never pushed that particular issue. We have worked collaboratively with the community colleges to provide equity for all the community colleges, but we have not been pushing our particular agenda. We have not gone to court. We have not done some of the things that I know our 3-12 colleagues have done.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, because that is a big problem. It's an interesting twist.
Exactly.
Given what we always hear about K-12.
Right.
Thank you.
Senator Trump, Senator Gordon, and
I appreciate the comments you made about Measure 5 and trying to catch up on the passage of that measure. As we think about the economy and what we can do with the resources we have here, we often think, well, if we have a dynamic model and we give a lot of tax relief back, that it improves the economy and that will magically take care of these needs for these students. What do you see about the tax relief like Measure 5 or any of the other tax relief measures we're doing? Do they get at the problem of your enrollment difficulties and students having enough money to pay their way?
I have not, Senator, in all honesty, noticed that. The students that we tend to deal with are not students with a great deal of discretionary dollars in their pocket. And so for them, the financial need is tremendous.
So if we leave it to the market and stimulate the market with tax relief, that won't solve your problem?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't seen it, and I think we're all familiar with the trickle-down theory, and it trickles, but it's very, very slow. And there are still, you talk about pockets of unemployment, we have in some of our communities, and particularly in our minority communities, it's still running 30-40%, and especially for single adult males. So the Portland area is thriving. It's thriving, but very, very unequally. And for some people are doing great, and some people are doing just as badly as they've done for the last 25 years with no relief in sight.
Thank you. And given those comments, Dr. Moriarty, my encouragement, my strong advice to you would be, yes, do come back. And early, not in the next session, but this is an issue we need to be working on in during the interim. My discomfort at this moment is that we're talking about a class of students and citizens, we're using the word minority to describe and define them, and we're talking about them again at the end of a process. We should have been having this conversation at the beginning, because the future of our state really is tied to what happens with all of our citizens, all of our students, and I know that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want this to come across as a lecture, but I would say that if we are concerned about the progress and plight of our minority students, and if we say it's a priority, then it's got to be at the top of our list and not at the bottom of the list, coming in with a request at the last moment.
Sure.
And I just need to express that frustration to you, and I know that you will accept it in the way that I'm presenting it. That aside, we ought to be looking for the dollars. Did you say it was 200 and...
Well, we're looking at replicating that program in Sylvania, both at Cascade and at Rock Creek, and specifically to our two largest minorities in those cases, Hispanic students, who tend to be very predominant in Washington County.
And the proposal has a price tag of what?
Well, what we would do is we would provide the same program, which is basically providing an academic advisor within the area and providing support, other tutoring and counseling support services. Obviously, you can't do a lot with $100,000.
Okay.
You can do something to kind of send up a flag. And I appreciate what you say. It's like you're darned if you do and you're darned if you're not, if you don't. But our contention was we're the largest college in the state. It's very important for us to set an example of collaboration and cooperation with our colleagues. We join hands with every community college in the state. We did not in any way deter from that. We did not come in with a special agenda, and we certainly have no intention of coming in at the last minute and saying, y'all, here we have this, that, and that priority. What can we get? That's not our goal, and I do it with some embarrassment at this particular moment.
Thank you,
members.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
Senator Fisher.
I appreciate Dr. Moriarty's statements, but the one he didn't mention was Umpqua Community College. We've been right at the lowest mm-hmm. in operating costs, and we've managed very well. We haven't shirked our maintenance. We've kept our buildings up. We haven't overbuilt or been fancy in our construction. We've had a tremendous amount of community support. We've initiated a lot of new programs down there, collaboration with four-year colleges and things like that, because we've been right in the forefront of things that have happened. We're also right now working on getting a new technology center. We've been impeded in that by the supermajority. We passed the budget for that, but I didn't have the percentage out. We, too, have been way on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to even funding. I am a great support of these programs, but it just absolutely infuriates me when we continue to kick around the amount of money we're kicking around for K-12 and yet expecting our community colleges to make up for an awful lot of the problems that the K-12 haven't handled and give it to them to do with basically nothing, no help. And I innately support these things, but I'm also innately offended that there isn't a little more effort to even this out around the state to other colleges that have gotten lost in the process.
This is every college would prefer to sell.
And with that, I guess, you know, maybe it's enough said, but sometime or another, we're going to have to stand up on our hind legs and say that all of our educational system is important. It doesn't particularly bother me about the trickle-down theory and one thing and another. If you're not going to even up the funds and the way they're spent, you can't expect to have any kind of parity. If we'd have had even funding over the last few years, we'd have had these new buildings that had been free and clear. We wouldn't have needed any other support. But we've been denied it on the breakout of the funds for years and years and years, and we've made up through it community efforts, but there comes a point in time when you can't stretch any further. And we don't have the situation that we have where we've got pockets of unemployment. We have a whole county of unemployment.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much.
I just to share Senator Gorley's frustration to come in at D-Day with a priority. To me, priorities are handled at the front end and not the back end. And it's also troubling to me that we're talking about a large population at risk and one that we continually in our debate talk about and that we haven't in our planning for the future take and envelop them in that whole process of running through. If it only costs us, what you say, $100,000 to have what I, you know, you and I talked earlier about under the old opportunity grant concept, when you had a person that mentored and worked with minority students to make sure that they were retained in our university systems or our college systems, that to me should be a part of the planning of the college system as a norm, whether we're talking about PCC, whether we're talking about Cascade, or whether we're talking about Umpqua. But I just think that that's a part of the operation that our college system should be undertaking, and not as a special class. I get very annoyed, to be honest, that we deal with things as special class and not as the priority integration within our system.
Yeah.
And I would hope that that as you plan 2 years from now and you come in, that activity is actually a part of, whether we're talking Chenecuda or whether we're talking Portland Community College of Cascade, but that's a part of the operation because, let's face it, for future, we have the minorities as a part of our population. And we must deal with that retention issue. And I see it just as a part of the ongoing college activity, not something that we're talking about anymore of having special funding. And I would hope that that you think about that.
And I assure you, it is a priority. What we're looking for all the time is how we can enhance what we do and do it better. And that's the margin of excellence that we're looking for. And we try to do it in a number of ways. We try to do it through our foundation. We raise a lot of money for scholarships. We just awarded $275,000 in scholarships. And all we're looking for is that margin of excellence. And I can assure you, we'll be there in the beginning. But right now, our priority is then to join hands with our colleagues, not to single out special priorities that are just peculiar to PCC or to Chemeketa. And then when we get the dollars, then Portland and Chemeketa and Umpqua can spend it the way they want to spend it. And Senator Fisher is absolutely correct in his analysis, and that also applies to Chemeketa and Portland colleges that have been underfunded historically for at least 10 years. But the solution that's on the horizon, we feel in 14 years, we'll make it. I don't think I'll be around to see it. Thank you very much.
Very briefly, Mr. Moriarty, thank you very much for coming today. I know you're giving us a message, and I think you're getting beat up over it by the fact that this is something that you, as a president, and other presidents had agreed to.
Exactly.
And so I appreciate you bringing me here today. And don't, you know, you're the messenger, and we're not trying to shoot the messenger.
I think you guys have been beat up more than I have.
No,
the whole state.
When does that 13-year period end?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think we have four more years before we get to the point where Umpqua is the same funding as Portland, is the same funding as Clackamas, is the same funding as Treasure Valley. Treasure Valley is our standard. I want to get out there.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Steve, do you want to go over the bill? And
Madam Chair, this bill comes to you as a blank appropriations bill. Dash one amendments to House Bill 5062 are before you. And what these amendments do is they amend in five appropriations to the Office of Community College Purposes, totaling $1,560,000 in general fund for the purposes that you have heard described before you and that are also listed at the top of this sheet that I prepared on community college supplemental funding. Half a million goes to distance learning, 290,000 goes to the three districts that have had annexations or creations recently, 100,000 for the Troutdale facility, and 100,000 for the Advanced Technology Center at Central Oregon Community College, and 70,000 for the Mental Health Technician Pilot Project at Lee.
Any questions?
I'm sure. Did we have, and I'm sorry, my brain maybe wasn't tuned in. We have a good discussion of the distance learning. Does that go to all the institutions, or is that focused in certain areas? Okay, that's what I thought. We talked about that earlier, and that's just as basic. The money that was taken out of the budget earlier.
That's correct. Okay. So it goes for, it's for everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I move the dash one.
Any discussion? Any objections?
Madam Chair, just a vote explanation. I'm glad to vote for this. I know all of these things are needed, and I think they'll all be beneficial, so I have no objection to these things. I do know that when we were thinking about a Democratic budget, and we thought about, we didn't know these specific problems, but we thought in terms of what President Moriarty talked about, that if we had $2 million, we would put it into the enrollment growth fund. That's where we wanted it to go. We didn't know about these specific problems, but we do know that all of the institutions would have benefited from that. I'll vote for this. I'd rather have been able to vote for that, although I think both are good.
Mm-hmm. I have a motion to...
I move Senator House Bill 5062 as amended to the floor to pass recommendation.
Discussion?
Madam Chair, I want to again make it known that I'm very supportive of this, but don't be surprised if I'm not silent on this subject between now and the end of the session, because I'm not one bit happy that this isn't going out, at least for most of the colleges that have at least some sharing.
Further discussion?
How I support Senator Fisher's concern that we have not addressed enrollment flows in our community colleges. And if we're talking about K through 16, the community colleges are a very, very important component of our educational system for many people, and provide really wonderful opportunities. And I think that this is one of those times when being too agreeable has not been in their interest. And I think it's sad that we don't reward them for being cooperative by recommending their enrollment growth. However, we didn't. So. I would hope that next time we would look at community colleges and look at the enrollment flows there as a priority. as well as equitable treatment of all institutions. I do like Senator Toll. I support these specific things. I support Representative Wilson's Grow Government Initiative.
Representative Ross, that's a grow opportunity.
Any no votes? Co-chairs have a brief presentation.
We wanted to have the opportunity to thank all of the hard work on the education subcommittee, and many of you were at the party last week, and we gave out certificates, and really, I said yesterday that the people on Human Resource Sub deserve medals, and actually every one of you would deserve a medal, but Senator and I couldn't afford that.
We want gold.
But all of you have just done really hard work, and I don't know how many more times this club will have to meet, but we want an opportunity to thank each and every one of you. And I'll turn it over to my co-chair.
Well, what else is there to say other than thank you? And we have a great award here for you, a certificate of appreciation. You want me to ask
about it? Yeah, go ahead. And we did, many of you got yours at the, who did come to the party, got yours at the party. So, fair enough. Aaron Gardley was at the party. Sarah Fisher was at the party. Senator Charles.
If I could just stay for a moment, I want to thank the committee. Many of you did not make our party, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You have been the best group to work with, and we've had some intense issues in this sub, and you've all handled it in this class. Help the rookie chair through the process, and I want to thank you. It has been a pleasure to work with all of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, our rookie, you may be a rookie, but you also have a lot of class.
He does.
Well,
thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have nothing on the agenda for tomorrow. That could change, so what I would do is just check in by the end of the day with Steve to make sure that as there is now, nothing's scheduled.
All right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Boy.
I think I'm not.
Richard.
We're doing up tomorrow.